Sometimes the fun begins when the paved road ends. Chevy Silverado 2500 HD is made to work hard and play hard on the road or off. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com for details and experience life in HD.
It's afternoon in Ukraine where Joseph Lindsley is. Joe, hello to you. And let me just start off by mentioning a couple of stories I heard yesterday. One kind of made me smile and one didn't. The one positive news was a report about the morale of the Ukrainian troops being still high as opposed to the Russian forces. But the report that really, really stopped me in my tracks was hearing a lot of military experts say this war may go on for a year or more. What are you hearing?
Well, Bob, good afternoon from Kharkiv. Nice snowy day here. Certainly, yes. And even, you know, as we're talking about yesterday, people get tired, but the morale is high. And I think especially with everyone I know who's in the Ukrainian military, they have a very businesslike approach to what they're doing. And they, I think they are the highest spirited people here. You know, they have the adrenaline of the fight. They've seen, you know, the amazing work they've been able to do, you know, in almost 1 year to hold the Russians at bay. And so I do see very high morale there. But there is, and at this moment right now, there's a lot of strange things moving around. And as we try to predict what might be happening, what the Russians might be up to, Moldova, which is a landlocked country just south of Ukraine, Russians have some troops and some occupied territory in Moldova. And today, that country temporarily closed their airspace for security reasons. The Moldovan media is reporting that there was a reconnaissance drone that was spotted somewhere in the country. And then a couple days ago, the president of Moldova, Maia Sandu, and she's pro-democracy, pro-European, she announced that that their security services in Moldova had uncovered a Russian plan to stage a coup d'etat to overthrow her government and to install a pro-Russian government. And the thinking is, if that happened, there's a little breakaway part of Moldova called Transnistria, kind of like the way there were the breakaway parts of Ukraine that Russia was controlling since 2014. And Russia does have troops there. And so there's concern that the Russians might be trying to create another opportunity to attack through Moldova. And this is strangely reminiscent of November 26, 2021. So before, you know, this full scale invasion, the government in Kyiv said that they had uncovered a Russian plot to overthrow President Zelensky. And you know, the idea, maybe they were hoping instead of going to war, they could simply take out the government. And then that failed, and they started the full-scale invasion. And so there's a lot of concern about what's happening in Moldova. And last week, during the massive, you know, Russia's nationwide strikes, you know, throughout Ukraine, targeting infrastructure, two missiles flew over both Moldovan airspace and Romanian airspace. And Romania, of course, is NATO. They didn't land there, but they briefly flew over those territories. And then meanwhile, in the country of Georgia, on the other side of the Black Sea, southeast of Ukraine and bordering Russia, Georgia is a country that 20% of which has been occupied by Russia for many years. And a mine showed up on the coast in the resort town of Batumi. And so we're seeing the effects of the war perhaps starting to spread. Also today, the French foreign ministry said that all French citizens in Belarus need to leave the country by road without delay. They're concerned about what could happen in Belarus. And meanwhile, you have one of Putin's allies, the dictator of Chechnya, which is part of the Russian Federation, saying we will take Odessa, Kharkiv, Kyiv, and even reach Poland. And so I think that there's a bit of uneasiness about what, you know, what the scale of this might be, what else Russia might be interested in. And this echoes why, you know, Zelensky in that speech in London last week said, you know, we have to have the confidence to stand up to evil. And the Secretary General of NATO said today that there should have been more done before February 24th, because this is, I think perhaps some are thinking we're up for quite a big fight here.
Frightening. And are the people you're in contact with thinking the war might last for another year or two at least? Is that what you're hearing?
People don't like to sort of talk about that because it's, you know, there's a heaviness in that. For example, I was in the shelter a couple of days ago during one of the attacks here in Kharkiv, and I was speaking with a woman from Georgia. Again, Georgia, you know, 20% of the country has been occupied by Russia since the 1990s. In 2008, they took more territory, and including her homeland, the region of Abkhazia. And she's here because she knows, like so many Georgians, it's a country of only 4 million people, but they had a 3,000 strong fighting force here in Ukraine. And they know, they've been through this threat of Russia for decades. And you know, she looked tired. She's talking about it. But they know that if you don't stand up against the evil, then the evil will continue to spread. So the best answer to that is, I think for most people here, the time doesn't matter. It's just, okay, you have to fight the evil until it stops.
And yet life goes on, as you tell us most mornings. People are in cafes, there's music, you're out for your morning jog in spite of it all. And that is just incredible. And you talk about the spirit of the soldiers, the spirit of just the civilians is phenomenal, isn't it?
Yeah, now, you know, I was talking recently with a friend who was he's an engineer and now has shifted all of his focus to helping supply the Ukrainian military. And he said that, you know, while obviously no one wants a situation like this, the war has given people something. And he says a lot of brilliant people who were just kind of living a simple life started to act much more and started to collaborate with each other. And he says, you know, he told me he doesn't know if this is a feature of Ukraine or anyone who's put in such a situation. But you really do see this amazing solidarity and collaborative spirit. And even, you know, whether it's supplying soldiers, but even in creating new businesses and new ideas, even in this environment, you see a lot of innovation pushed, you know, to that extreme by necessity and a desire to collaborate with each other. And so this is, you know, maybe, and that's really the best way, you know, to really have the strongest victory is that not only can you fight the, you know, the invader, but you also become stronger as a result.
Let me share some feedback from our listeners that hopefully will bring a smile to your face, Joseph. The knowledge of Joseph is absolutely phenomenal. Absolutely love listening to the, quote, most interesting man in the world, end quote. And here's another text. I can see Joseph as a teacher in university when he is finished with his mission. Joe, do you think about life after the war at all?
No, I haven't. And again, I think because it's sort of that heaviness when you think, you know, how long this might go on. And, you know, when I came to Ukraine during when the pandemic started, I was traveling the world trying to get away from, you know, my former career in New York. And so I wasn't really, I was just kind of running away. And here I'm confronted with a chance to share the stories of the people of this country and to stand for freedom against evil and tyranny. And so that's all that's been on my mind. But I like these ideas.
And we should mention again the website. And I know you work on posting stories, images, links, UkrainianFreedomNews.com. And, you know, a lot of people ask me about what you do over there, Joseph, and when we're not talking to you, what your main job is. And basically, you edit that site, don't you?
Yeah, we have a team of volunteers. We post on our Telegram channel. And every day, actually, we share a video version of this conversation, supplemented by videos and photographs from what's happening here in the ground. So you can get a different view of what's going on here. And from time to time, when situations arise, we you know, raise money and do everything we can to help everyone from, you know, if there's soldiers who need a drone a hospital that needs a generator. And this is part of the, you know, everyone here collaborates in different ways. So that's how our team at UkrainianFreedomNews.com are all volunteers. And, you know, you've probably seen there's so many different little groups of people have formed sort of collaborative alliances in this time. There was just a conference in Lviv, which I wasn't able to attend because I'm here in Kharkiv, of all these different little, you know, sort of NGOs. Most of them aren't even formal, just collections of friends who get together. And it's this constant atmosphere of collaboration and cooperation.
I heard somebody say this the other day, and I'll leave you with this line of hope, Joseph. The arc of the universe is long, but it bends toward justice. Hope so, huh?
That's great. And it sounds like, again, what Zelensky said last week. He says, we know that this victory will change the world, and this will be a change that the world has long needed, which is making sure that we can stand up to tyrants and live happily and freely.
We'll end on that optimistic note today. More tomorrow. Thank you, Joseph. Have a peaceful day.
Thank you, Bob.